This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Jennifer Monroe, Jane Bolton,
and Neil Monroe.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, do you want me to call you Jennifer or Jenny?
I like being called Jenny.
Okay, Jenny. Now, when did you come to Palmerston North?
Well, we came to Palmerston North in 1956.
Yes.
And, no, that is a lie, actually. We came in 1957.
Okay.
We first of all had our first year of married life in Dannevirke. I married at Palmerston North bloke called Neil Monroe. And he was an accountant, and okay. he had a job in Dannevirke, so we went to Dannevirke after we were married and had a year there, and then came to Palmerston North to a different job.
Okay.
Yes.
So what was your impression of Palmerston North then? Where did you grow up?
And we grew up in Wellington, which was very different because I always lived by the sea.
Yes.
And first of all, I think I was born in Seatoun. And then during the war, we went down to the South Island for about 3 years to my grandparents, or next door to our grandparents. And then came back to Wellington and lived at Eastbourne until 1956.
Okay. So how did you find it going from there to Dannevirke and Palmerston North?
Different. We didn't know a soul, which I found difficult, but I was a kindergarten teacher.
Okay.
And I managed to get the job of looking after the children as a director. So that gave me an introduction to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Parents and young parents, sometimes my age, same age group.
Okay, yeah.
And I it's amazing. Neil met people at work, and we met a couple who really introduced us to Dannevirke society, as you might call it.
Yeah. Was it socially very similar then, or just different people?
It's quieter. Much quieter. I mean, Wellington, we used to go to lots of balls and parties into the ballet. And in fact, that's our first outing together was at the ballet.
Oh, okay.
if
was that your idea or Neil's idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. I was actually, as I said before, a kindergarten teacher, and I ran a kindergarten in Kilburn for 3 years. And it was I only had it running in the morning, so the afternoons became a bit long and boring. So I got this job in an accountant's office using a plus adder. I don't know whether you know what a plus adder is, but it's an old-fashioned adding machine that I put in the figures and then push
a great
it
long
back.
Lever that you pull back.
Yes. And so I was... It was a very mundane job, but it gave me something to do. And there were quite a number of young men in the accountant's office, and they were a good group. One of them bet that Neil couldn't take me out.
Okay.
And he said, "All right, I'll take the bet on." And he rang me, and I lived at Eastbourne, and he rang me and asked me if I'd like to go to the ballet. Well, it was one of my passions.
Okay.
I thought, oh, the ballet, how lovely. Yes, please, I'd love to go to the ballet. And he took me to the ballet, and the cheapest seats right up in the gods, but that didn't matter. And it went from there. So, of course, we were teased, and so I left that accounting job. I just, accountant's office. It wasn't very good to be going out with one of the boys.
Just a minute, Neil, what made you think for a first date to go to the ballet? Do you recall?
Well, I knew Jenny well enough at that stage to know that she was interested in ballet.
Okay,
and I think as a small girl, she used to dance.
Ah, okay.
So I knew her well enough at that stage to...
So you thought she'd know that
she wouldn't turn me down.
So you wouldn't have suggested rugby then?
No. But indeed, you know, we went away up into the gods as you did. Yeah. But you got a good view up there.
Yes.
No, got a really good view up in the gods. Could look right down on the stage.
Okay.
That's,
it wasn't a good idea to be... to have the staff fraternising, as it were. Yeah. So,
well, now they'll be talking about power imbalance and totally inappropriate behaviour.
Right, right, I know.
Funny.
So, that's how it happened.
So what was the bet? How much were you bet that you couldn't ask Jenny out?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that there was money involved. I'm really not sure. I don't think anybody had any money anyway. So, you know, if somebody bet me 10 shillings or something, and the chances were I probably wouldn't have got paid anyway. So,
that's brilliant.
Yeah. Now, when was this then?
Well, it would have been about 1955. About in the middle of 1955, and brilliant. We didn't. It's a long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago.
But he didn't realise that I lived out at Eastbourne, and I had to get home. From Wellington, and we didn't have a car, or he didn't have a car. So we had to catch the last bus home, and it was a bit of a frantic rush to catch the last bus.
Yeah,
as my even at that my age, that was, I would have been about 22 or 3. Mm. My parents were still fairly strict, and if I wasn't home on the last bus, they wanted to know why, which seems terrible in today's
That's
world.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Anyway, I made the bus. Mm.
Yeah.
But of course, I wasn't escorted to the door, was I? I was put on the bus, and that was it.
Right. And the relief is gone.
No, not doing that again, are
you? You did. Yes, no, okay. So that's right. Mm. So we had a lot of fun over the years.
Yeah. Okay. So then you had, what was it, a year or so in Dannevirke?
I had a kindergarten.
Yeah,
yes,
and you were in Dannevirke for...
A year.
For a year, yeah.
And then we had our first child the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to come to Palmerston North, and that's really more opportunities.
Mm. Yeah.
And my roots were in Palmerston, really, because my grandfather lived here and my father, so I suppose... I had a bit of a hankering to get back, and there was an accounting position available for me here, so I took it.
Mm. Yeah, so you'd grown up in Palmerston North?
Yes, I had.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Mm. And you've been to, which school did you go to here?
Well, I went to Huntley School in Marton.
Okay. Yeah.
I had 5 years there, and then 4 years at collegiate, so... I was 9 years away from
From here, but quite. Did that mean that you didn't have many local friends your own age here?
Could be. Well, some of the boys that were at Huntley lived here, and likewise at collegiate. But I did have one very close friend, and as a small boy, we used to do all sorts of things together, including. Playing golf at the age of about 9, I suppose. We played a lot of golf.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Mm.
That's how I really took golf up, really.
Well, it probably was, Jenny, I think.
Yes, when we married, I played golf. And I'd really rather have played tennis, which I did.
Mm.
But I thought, well, once the children were well and truly at school, I took up golf and...
Mm.
Loved it. Mm.
You did very well, didn't you, in your golf?
I was the club. Mm. I won. I wasn't the club champ, but I was in my grade. I won a couple of years.
Okay. Yeah.
When did you take up squash? Because you were.
Well, that was early on. Neil introduced me to squash. Because you'd played, hadn't you, when you were...
Yeah, well, I played when the courts were originally up in Princess Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was before I went down to Wellington. Mm-hmm. And then I got back to squash, and of course it's compatible with tennis. Mm-hmm. In a way, Jenny played tennis, and and squash was a good game for us both to... play, really.
So when was that? Because squash became popular in the UK, I think it was in the 60s, late 60s.
Palmerston North was a stronghold in squash.
Hmm.
Yes.
There was a private court here, and the courts in Princess Street, I think, were one of the first courts
in the 1950s are you talking about here? Or
pardon?
In the 1950s or even earlier?
The first courts were here before then. Yes, now in the 1940s.
Oh, right.
That's
okay.
Because you were a B grader, weren't you? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You were a B grader.
A grader.
A grader. Oh, sorry. That's even better.
Yes, I actually was the club champ one year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was only because the two top girls were up in North Auckland.
No.
But we had a really strong women's squash team, and we used to go away every year somewhere and play for a cup, and it involved about eight clubs throughout New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And we played... So I did get away for weekends playing squash, and Neil had to look after the children, or his mother did. How I did it and brought up three children in those days, I'm not really sure, but we did.
Well, why would it be difficult if you had an extended family?
I don't think the money was available
as much as
it is today. And it always cost quite a bit to go away for the weekend.
Hmm.
We had to buy our own meal. We didn't have to pay our accommodation or our travel, because we mostly went in by car. But we just didn't. And, you know, the squash rackets were dear. And so...
Yes.
And we had three young children to bring up too, and a mortgage pay off, and you know, all that sort of business.
So it was cost more than that, because in those days you had the Kiwi weekend, didn't you? There were no work on Saturdays and Sundays, and that was for
shops were shut.
Oh, that's right.
So you had the time, but the money was the problem.
But whereas tennis, you could just play tennis. I think we did pay a sub to join a tennis club, didn't we? But it wasn't very much. I used to play during the week with my friends and kept it going even though I played squash. But then, perhaps it was in the 70s, I gave up squash because it was just getting a bit tough. I took up golf instead. But squash ruined my putting. Because with squash you always break your wrist, and putting you just keep it straight.
Yeah.
I always blamed squash that I was never a really good putter.
Yeah. Now, do you think if you were very sort of active in sport when you were younger, do you think that's been beneficial on your body in old age, or has it been harmful?
Definitely.
Which? Beneficial?
Beneficial, I'm sure. I'm sure that sport plays a big part in your health, and if you do it properly and train properly, you can play for a long time. We've always been quite... Neil was lucky that we both played a lot of sport. He enjoyed it too. So we both had a common interest, and I think that has been
great. You kept active and you kept fit. Which is
very important. Well, not only is it good for your health, but it's good for you socially too.
And mentally.
Mentally. Mm. And socially, you don't have to actually try and find friends They're there in front of you,
yeah,
and
yeah.
you've mm. got a common interest,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, mm. yeah. So was that a major sort of act?
Yes, oh, it probably so, yeah. was.
Yes, yes. No, I think so, really. Mm. 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 Mm.
So what in the squash club, what sort of membership would you have had?
You're asking me now. I'm going back a few years.
Is it 30, 50, 100?
A couple of hundred, 200? Maybe,
yes,
do you think, Jenny?
At least. Mm. That's
yeah, good. We were fortunate to be members of the club here when the club had most of the top New Zealand players.
Oh, okay.
So at that yeah. time the club was really booming.
Mm. Mm. Yes, we had the top men players, didn't we?
Yep.
And we had the two top women players.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you were one of those, were you?
Oh, well, no, I was a good average player.
You're being modest. You're being modest.
People can look up.
Yes, exactly.
See you later.
And okay. I think I really enjoyed the fact that I could take children to watch me play squash after school.
Mm.
Mm. Outside the court, they had a very convenient, because always the courts have windows at the
yes.
top,
mm.
and they had a very convenient high sort of bench. And I used to buy the children a packet of chips each, and they, potato chips, and they would sit on the bench, and my squash games never lasted more than half an hour, you know, half an hour, three quarters of an hour was quite long enough.
Yeah.
And so, and then I took them home, whereas with a lot of sport, you're away for 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got to. So to me, squash was an excellent sport, and to look after the children.
Yeah, yeah. Was there a coach then for?
Oh yes, we had coaching at night. Well, they were looked after by Neil.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And we used to have coaching, and we had some really good top players, and the men. There weren't a lot of women playing top squash. In the club, a lot of people played squash socially, really, but the men were wonderful, and they used to play with us, our team, and that was a great help because it learnt us to be fast around the court and be aware, and hit the ball hard.
Yes. Okay. Because would you have been able to see much competitive squash or international squash in those days? Now you can see it on television.
Yes, well, of course, this Cousins Shield and Mitchell Cup was the New Zealand Cups, and we often held the finals at the Palmerston North Golf, the Golf Squash Club. No, it was great watching, wasn't it? Mm. And we had excellent tiered seating, so
we
could see. Mm.
But it wasn't televised like
today.
I mean, today's courts have glass walls, and I think they have coloured floors so that the ball shows up better, that sort of thing.
So do you think that the techniques of squash have changed much from your day?
I'm just watching it on today, today's world. I think their rallies, even the women, are rallying much longer rallies than they do. I attempted to get the point as quickly as I could. But some people had very long rallies. Yes.
Mm. You were a killer. You killed those shots at the tin.
Yes.
The shape of the racket's changed, of course. It's much flatter at the end, presumably. So you've got more racket.
Close to the wall.
Close to the wall, right.
Yes.
Yeah. The rackets we played with were virtually round, so you didn't have that much. Racket close to the wall.
I recommend squash for anybody.
So when did you start your floral art?
Well, I started floral art in 1967.
The beginning of the Manawatu or the
no, another friend. Another friend of mine. We loved doing the floral art, and we thought our son had just gone to school, and I thought this is good, and her son was nearly going to school. Anyway, we went to night school, and we did our floral art at night school.
Oh, okay.
And we had one lesson every week for 3 terms, and we really got very keen on it. Our tutor was also the president of the Floral Art, Palmerston North Floral Art Club. So we did a second year, and she talked a lot of us into joining the Floral Art Club. And that's how it all started.
Okay.
Yeah. And I joined the Floral Art Club, it would have been 1968. And suddenly, 2 years later, I was jolly treasurer of
these things of happen the in voluntary North organisations.
Club. Yes. I happened to happen to come for a luckily. Yeah. And so they roped me in. I mean, all I had to do was collect the money, hand them over to Neil enough. So, and then from being treasurer, I sort of landed as president, and then got, as president, was involved in the New Zealand Floral Art Society as a representative of the Manawatū going to the New Zealand functions. And 10 years later, I was suddenly New Zealand president of the Floral Art Society. Mm. So that was a big job.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Now, was floral art, is Ikebana a subset of that? Or
No.
Well, it's quite separate.
The design on the mantelpiece happens to be a very early design done by the Biedermeier Bargain years and years and years ago. So we call that a traditional style.
So,
but now floral art has become very sculptural. Very.
So the traditional style would be what?
A lot of flowers.
A lot of flowers in
triangles,
a sort of
design. Big mast arrangement.
Okay.
And today it's become very sculptural, and we don't use a lot of plant material. We try to get a really good design. It's become a completely different subject, but we still make sure that people know their basics, design principles and elements. If you don't know your basic design principles and elements, you're never going to learn any sort of art.
So that's based on what, the colour and texture?
Yes.
Okay.
Balance.
So how does it relate? As I understand it, Ikebana is the Japanese
floral more writing. Japanese style.
That's more minimalist, is it? Compared to?
Well, it is really. It's more line. Yes.
Okay.
It's interesting. Every time I think that I don't know very much about it. I've never really done a lot, but they are creating something that's coming from them. Their way. Their style is quite different.
Yeah.
But we are also creating something coming from us.
I was going to say, is there a particular New Zealand style of floral
arrangement? No, it's more perhaps European.
Okay.
Even in Europe, their styles are very... They really introduce more the sculptural type of designing, or the European. Yeah.
Is there a focus here on using New Zealand native plants?
Yes. We try and make sure the girls do use their native material. I'm a bit of a fan for using the garden.
Yes.
And I think this... From the garden, you can create any type of style you want to do. Yes.
Now, you did say the girls. Is it a woman-only interest?
Oh, yes, the girls.
No, yes, it is, actually.
No. Well, it isn't merely. Perhaps more women in New Zealand, there are not a lot of men doing floral art. Mm. But in Europe, all the top designers, most of them, I would think 80% are men.
Okay, top designers.
So there's floral art.
So now that suggests it's more an occupation, is it?
Mostly florists.
So it's sort of for weddings and funerals special events and so on.
But then they specialise in creative floral art.
Okay. Yeah.
We tend to call it floral art because that's what we do. But it's now becoming quite different. And the design, the design of your style is much more important.
Okay, so there's a distinction then, is there, between the hobbyists and the professionals?
Yes, I think there is. Yes, it's a long subject. Take all day to talk. But it's a lovely creative thing to do.
It's very relaxing.
As a matter of interest, Palmerston North has the biggest club in New Zealand.
Yeah.
We have just over 80 members, and we give them a lot of workshops and teaching.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're getting a great crowd of perhaps people just leaving work and then starting, because they're leaving work a lot earlier and...
So you mean they're retiring or they're...
Retiring. So
leaving earlier. You mean early retirement or...
Well, we've got a lot of girls...
Younger ones
who are not working, yes.
Perhaps they
This is interesting, because I was going to ask before, when you were doing all these things, were you working when you had...
I did go back to work at the kindergartens if they were short of But no, I didn't. We were probably fortunate that we didn't go to work.
Yeah, so and that was the norm at that stage. For if you've got a family with children, then the mother would be at home.
Yes, her mother would be at home. Whereas in today's world, they are all they.
Yeah.
They go to work.
Yeah.
Maybe in today's world they've got automatic washing machines and dryers and all these things, and they're having their children later, and they're not having so many. So it's a different a different world today.
Yeah, and you buy the more pre-prepared meals rather. Were you making all your own jams and preserves?
Oh, yes, and preserves. Yeah.
And you had a vegetable garden, did you?
Yes, and you open up your cupboard and you feel very proud because you've got shelves of bottles of this and bottles of that and jams of this and marmalade. Remember jam?
Pickles and
Goodness me. And that's what we do. Yeah.
And they say now that a lot of the voluntary activity is run by retired people, but it would have been housewives and so on doing a lot of that.
Yes, that'd be right. That's an interesting comment, observation.
Do you feel that there was a more community activity for people of working age then?
Well, I think in a way there is not more, but perhaps more people had time to do it than they do today, because a lot of people are not retiring till they're in their late 60s, and the younger ones are still working, aren't they? So the people who are doing community work are older than perhaps people doing community work when we were growing up, because we had the time.
Yeah. Do you think it was more relaxed then? Life was more relaxed? Or?
It's different.
I don't know, really.
It's
different.
You were still chasing
it's
around.
It's just different. It was different.
Okay.
That was about it.
So when you say different, does anything stand out as...
Well, most of us, as I said, we did our own baking and looking after the children and our own making clothes, dressing the children. I did a lot of dressing the children, making the girls' dresses. And I don't think the young have time to do all that today.
Yeah. And I suppose as well now, if you get clothes are so much cheaper to buy now than they were then, aren't they?
Well, I think they might have been.
Yeah, I think it probably costs you more to buy the material now than it would do to buy the made up clothes.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And today, of course, young parents send their children off to a daycare centre, don't they? That didn't happen. They go to a kindergarten, but that would only be for 2 or 3 hours in a day.
Yeah,
nowadays they drop them off
early
in the morning and pick them up at the end of the day.
Yeah. Raises another issue of preparing children for school and so on. This is part one of four. Tune in next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.